This is June the 11th, 1995. We've been off the record for a period of time, and now we're coming back on the record. This is tape number one.
I've run out of anything to say. Whoever is applauding back there has to eat twice as much cake. I want to repeat, the cake's this day, or for our graduates. God love them for struggling in through there and making us proud of them. Some are not here, it doesn't matter, we're just as proud of them, and we love them. And I love you parents who have been willing to hang in here and get your jobs done with responsibility. And they're frightening things that happen. But don't consider all things just frightening. There are all sorts of signs that will be given to you to let you know that we're around and that you're in our protection. And especially the children. God, what a mess you've left them. And they're so ill-prepared. They sure deserve more than a cake or a pizza party, but we don't have any way, do we? No way to love them enough. No way to realize where those years went while we tried to meet responsibilities to the best of our ability, already damaged from our own upbringing, our own loss, our own lack of knowing. And you get to be 50, 60, 70, 80. And how different it would be. And then you look at all of the masses out there who got to be 50, 60, 70, 80, and they're even more lost than they were at the time that they were young. And how can a child grow in this environment? Most won't. Most haven't. And most will perish. I would be remiss to come before you and say, hey, it's great. People are waking up. It isn't great. You better listen to Scallion. It isn't that he sees anything that all of you couldn't if you would look. But I don't need a bunch of psychics coming back and saying, well, Commander told me, and I know that I received from Commander. I don't need a dozen or 100 speakers. It's confusing. If I have put the truth down somewhere and you just simply refuse to read it waiting for this personal revelation, you are going to wait into infinity. Why would I do it 100 times when you don't even read it the once that's available? And the same with Scallion. Why should he come down and cram his vision into your gullet when he's telling it as he sees it? Does he see it all clearly? No, he doesn't. He sees it and expresses it to the best of his ability for what he is seeing. And he has to tell you, I'm not always right, but this is what I'm seeing. I'm not telling you, you have to believe it, but I cannot live with myself unless I tell you what I see. Well, I want your guarantee on this bottom line. Then forget it. You go your way. And you go listen to your gurus. You go listen to your entertainers. But when he says, there comes this time I look around. There are no cities left. There seem to be a lot of people, and it seems to be rural areas, and much earth changes has taken place. And there's peace. It's a very warm, very, very friendly, very neighborly environment everywhere I look. But all the cities are gone. You better hear it. The cities are what house the corruption. The big banks, the big corporate octopus. It doesn't mean that all those entities in those buildings deserve to die or are evil. They're just there. And hundreds of thousands will die. They tell you that if the big one comes to Southern California, notice they're showing you those pictures again. They know they're getting ready for one, and they're showing you this is another way of just seeing who will just sleep on. Your public broadcasting system within the week gave you another one on the big one. And they tell you that all those lifelines across from the east will be ruptured. This is an updated version. This isn't even the one they show every year. This one's updated. And they've updated the magnitude. And if it doesn't scare the pants off you to look at their maps, I don't know what it takes. Doom and gloom, these are geologist reports. From the San Andreas, as it hangs up on the San Andreas, it just fractures like ice. You know, if you pour boiling water on a sheet of ice, it's going to just splinter. Now all those splinters are piling on top of each other. And then they're going to give again. And they're going to give on fault lines that were not there before. And it isn't a matter of if, when they pull off the one around Palm Springs, it's going to be well over a 9. We're talking up into the 10 or above. It's arranged now with the splits and the faults. Palm Springs just implode. And it will shatter because it will not strike right under Palm Springs. It's going to be on one of these other faults that triggers it. And it's going to come right up through the Elysian Park fault, probably. That's the way it's geared to go. That's the way they've arranged for it to go. And that's going to take all the splinter faults. But it won't take it all the way up into the, you know, this still allows segments of California to shiver and wait. And the full thrust of the Clinton government and the G7 and these other elaborate Khazarian elitists, let's just call it the New World, is to take out Japan, period. Eventually just take out Japan. But not until after they have smashed Japan. They do nasty, rotten things. Those ones in the Rothschild Rockefeller cartels. What they do, they sold Rockefeller Center to Japan. They have made billions of dollars off that transaction while Japan, Mitsubishi, who bought it, is going bankrupt. That is taking place all over the trade world with Japan. And if you think you can beat this system with a pop gun, you just keep trying, but leave us out of it. You are not going to win this one with arms. So you've got the plagues coming against you in a form that so far hasn't even been presented. Their worst ones have not been presented. They're playing around with these other things, and yet they will tell you that you don't need to worry much about chemical warfare or even missile warfare. Although I find it interesting that you're dumping your missiles off, you're breaking up your aircraft, you're parking your aircraft, you're smashing your aircraft, all the while you are destroying your tanks and junking them. Well, guess what? Russia's brought hers in here.
That's the United Nations, my friends. That's your new constitution, and that's who you serve now. So if you think, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to stand on my rights under the Constitution of the United States of America that was done way back when, forget it. You're under executive order in a state of war. And if you want a nation under God, you're going to have to build it. And that constitution that you used was stolen from the Native Americans anyway. And you left them out of it. But it got covered in the Bill of Rights. So it's up to you. But you're not going to ever go in there and do anything except make an ass of yourself in Washington, D.C. And if you can't see it, then you all just keep marching with the ones who suggest a big march. You see, Rick got to experience what your first grand jury was like. There has been so much backbiting and pork barrel legislation and hate mongering and fighting and infighting and picking just in that grand jury. And what were you trying to do? Stop some of this legislation that the minute you put forth your grand jury statement, they passed. 666. Done. No, you need little grand juries in your towns to struggle with these smaller fights, to take into the smaller courts. And then you begin one step at a time reclaiming your country. And meanwhile, we act within the laws. And then they don't have to kill you. They may rob you, they may take everything you have, but they don't have to kill you that way. They don't have a good excuse to hide behind to kill you. And you might say, well, I would rather die than live like this. Well, you cowardly SOB. You've just told me everything when you say that. I would rather die than. Bullshit, you don't even know what's in your Constitution. What are you telling me that for? You want your way. That's what's wrong. You want the United States of America to function under the Constitution as you interpret it. To hell with the blacks and the yellows and the reds and the pinks. I want my rights. When you want the rights of your neighbor and your friends and your families, and you're willing to live for this, then I'll listen to you. Don't give me that BS about I am so patriotic that I will die rather than. Because you're lying. You might well die rather than have your guns taken away, but I want to know what's godly about that. If you can't think of a better way to salvage the greatest thing God has ever created, yourself and your freedom and your right to be a man or a woman, then you haven't gotten the point. And you don't do it with a submachine gun. Does this mean that I'm going to talk all of you out of carrying around your 45? Of course not. Some of you could not even go to bed without it. You might have to shoot your partner or something. You do what you want to do. Do not ever go out there and say, I ever suggested such a thing. You are not going to defend anything with that 45. If they want to kill you, they are going to kill you. And if you would rather die than live like this, and you go ahead and let them kill you, what in the hell are you waiting for? Look at Ray Rennick. I will not put up with this stuff against my person. Fine. Now you're in jail, in prison. We can't even get you out. Oh, God. Let's look at tapes, listen to tapes. Let's hear something worse. I'll get it. Doom and gloom spoke again.
Ed's ready.
Up, Ed. Let's hear what Scallion has to say. And if this doesn't scare you to death, then you're dead.
Before I get into the earthquake business, I wasn't able to attend the graduation yesterday, but I just wanted to say a few words about graduation. Having been heavily involved in education for a number of years, I think the graduates, whether they're here or not, certainly deserve praise, but what I was hearing for the last 2 days and wanted to talk about was the parents. I have a friend who was a longtime college president, university president, and there were two things that occurred to me in the last day or so that he told me years ago that I thought were extremely important at a time of graduation. And they're essentially the statements that refer to the parents, because I can remember growing up how important it was to have the environment in which to be able to concentrate on doing homework or having parents who helped me with homework or things like that. And so the first one statement I remember him making was that education should be something that teaches you how to think, not what to think. And I've watched Sandy and Rod Inns do that with their kids quite a bit, and I couldn't help but think of this person's words at this time, because even the other night when the light bulb blew up and the beam came through the ceiling and all of that happened, who was up helping Chessa with her term paper but Mom? And so that's half of a team. And the other statement that goes as equally much for the quieter member of the Rod and Sandy Enns family unit goes to Rod, and that's a statement that the same person, Father Hesburgh, made years ago. And he said, the most important thing the father can do for his children is to love their mother.
Yes.
And so at this time of graduation, while the kids are getting a lot of attention right now, I wanted to focus a little attention on the parents. And those two statements came to mind. And one other one I hear Nikki saying to me right now from his friend Mark Twain was, don't let schooling interfere with your education.
Yes, but aren't we pleased? Aren't every one of us in this room who looked at the Tehachapi paper this week thrilled to death and proud as peacocks over Chessa? Isn't she beautiful? And as a grandfather, I can't, you know, overlook David and other ones. Skelly's young lady was there. You're such a beautiful people. Such a beautiful people. And what a loss so many are to this world. Chessa's not a loss. And we're very proud. We're very pleased. I possibly more than you once can imagine, because I really gulped when I said, put them back into school. I laid my own neck on the line. But if they were not in school, neither would her picture have been in the paper for us to revel in. So we appreciate it when you parents can bring some balance. And it's hard, because ones get out there in this big world and stumble. They really do, because it's there to pull them out. And the more independent ones in this evolution lose it, parents get terrified and pull back the moth trying to fly. Neither one knowing how it's going to work out. If I do this, will the child hate me forever? Only if you don't do it in fairness. As long as you sit down and each understands the other and be honest about it, it will only strengthen the relationship. But if you don't handle it in fairness, and you handle it without trust, loving trust, you see, we have to let go. And we always fear we haven't done enough. And you see, some of us are old codgers in this room. And I have to weigh everything. Will I just hurt them? Will they understand my love and the reasoning? Will I just say, do it or else? And to hell with you. I'm your father. I will set the rules. But I'm going to keep them secret from you. No, we have to treat the smallest babe as the individual entity that is deserved there. We have to do the best we can, and then we have to release them in full trust, praying they will hold that trust. And most of the time they will. It doesn't mean that they won't stumble, but I want one of you, any one of you, who would jeopardize a relationship or blame a child for stumbling, come to me and prove to me that you have not stumbled. Older than that child. And that puts it on a basis of maybe some understanding. We must respect each other. You see, I would take Mark Twain's statement differently. I would honor the man who respects his wife, because that indicates love. You can't separate the two. And once respect is gone, I can guarantee you love is gone. So I'm sorry to interrupt. I wanted that on the record for these youngsters growing up.
Well, certainly extremely appropriate. The only other thing I wanted to say about education was something that comes up all the time. People ask me, and that is all of us here who are privy to what Commander has given us over the last so many years is such an advanced education that it's hardest for the people that are still in school, because there's a kind of a compromise you have to go through. You have to accept from the school system what you can. Like Mark Twain said, don't let school interfere with your education. That doesn't mean that you completely divorce yourself from it. There are things to be gotten from school. The basic laws of motion remain the same, or how light interacts in this world remains the same, but that doesn't mean you stop with what they tell you. But there is a problem for the kids these days, because they have to almost hold Commander's things to the side when it comes to what you regurgitate to get the A on the paper. And that is where the big dilemma comes in. As long as you're aware of that, I don't think it's a problem. It was more a problem when I was in school, because the dogma at the PhD level is such that if you deviate one iota from the standard story of what light is or what radio is or what anything else is, it's complete heresy, and they're scared to death of sanctioning you with a degree from their university. But now it's trickling down further and further. And all of the people in this room who are younger have heard Commander's words and know a lot more about what's going on than most of the teachers. So there is a problem with being smart enough to know when not to say what you know. Just get out what you can from the school system, but don't antagonize the teacher, shall we say. The teacher is still the god of the classroom. So with that out of the way, next thing I wanted to mention just briefly was an episode on Art Bell's show a couple nights ago. This is, well, a cross between amusing and irritating. But last week or 2 weeks ago in the paper, I, in part of a front page editorial, I talked about what I had heard on the news right after the Oklahoma bombing about the federal building having 18 stories underground. And I put a note in the paper saying, you know, when you only hear it once and you don't hear it again and nobody else talks about it, you begin to think that you're crazy and that you never even heard what you heard. Well, so someday this week, I think it was Wednesday, I got a call at home from Rick saying that somebody had called into the office, and I won't get the details quite straight here, but a friend of a friend or a relative of somebody who was involved in the rescue efforts in Oklahoma had read that and said, gee, not only did this person in looking around the building and touring see underground that there were a lot of stories underground, but also saw tanks and other things down there, plus an elaborate tunnel system. So Wednesday evening I was standing at my sink doing dishes, and these little voices in my head that Commander alludes to, one of the three of them were bothering me, saying, why don't you call up Art Bell? I've never called him before. I fax him often, mercilessly teasing him to tell the truth. But I've never called him before. And so I argued with this voice through the dishes, saying, no, I'm not going to call Art Bell. And finally we agreed to a compromise. Yes, I would call Art Bell. And
that is a compromise.
Well, when you're dealing with the hosts, it is. They know not the word. So I called him, and I did get through, and I told him about what I had heard, and I just got to the point. I said I wanted to share this with you so that your listeners, if any of them out there heard anything similar, maybe they would call in. Well, I got as far as saying what I had heard about 18 stories underground, and I was just taking a breath to add the juicy news that we had confirmation when he cut me off. So at first I was really irritated by this, and I was steaming, and I went in and I finished my message in the fax, and I said, you so-and-so, here's the rest of the story. So and he did not read it. So we one little test there of his possible honesty was flunked, but that's not we're still gaining on this, and that's why Commander's sitting there with that cat ate the canary grin on his face, because we still gained. And here's what happened. First, somebody called in a few minutes, well, maybe 10 minutes later, and said this lady wanted to talk to Art privately, and he said, well, you're on the air with Art Bell, and he was teasing with her, and she was very insistent, and finally he said, well, we're 5 minutes from the top of an hour break, so hang on, and I'll talk to you during the break. So I don't know what she called in about, but it sounded, in my mind, as if it were connected with this, and he didn't want it on the air. Then, about 20 minutes after that, a fellow called, from, I think, Missouri, very well-spoken, would remind me of a Ron Carlson kind of person with poise and good ability to reason. And he called in and said, well, I heard what Dr. Ed said. You're only allowed to use first names, and I wanted Art to be sure he knew who was calling in. And he did not interrupt me while I was talking, except to cut me off right at that pause and breathing in. And this person called and said, well, I heard what Dr. Ed said, and you know, Art, I've noticed the same thing, that the media will give some information right after an event happens, and then they won't talk about it anymore. And Art immediately jumped on that and said, well, yes, of course, that's because they now get their facts straight, and they once they get their facts straight, then they can clean up their news stories and blah, 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 that party line. Well, the guy was very patient, and he let Art finish his ranting and raving, and there was a very pregnant pause there, and then the guy said, no, Art, I mean the exact opposite of that. I mean that the facts often get through at the very beginning, and then they are sanitized out. And he said that, and then he gave three examples, which I wouldn't have even thought had the presence of mind to recall from current news, where that happened, and Art had to say, yes, that's true, that's happened. Anyway, Art got his comeuppance right on the airwaves of his own show. And so I have not heard from him yet as to whether he got any more faxes or calls in when I wasn't listening, confirming the 18 stories underground, but I sure hope that all of his listeners in Oklahoma City heard that part of the story. So that's that item. Now, in the earthquake department, I don't have anything new from Soltech. I have been in contact with Callie for the last several days, and her comment as late as an hour ago was she is not hearing anything new. What Commander has mentioned, what we mentioned in the paper a couple weeks ago, what Gordon Michael Scallion has mentioned is there and ready to go. The only thing I would add to it is a very troublesome spot up in Northern California, where the San Andreas and the East Bay faults, the Hayward and Calaveras faults, which I did talk about in the paper, the May 9th paper, I showed a Southern California map and a Northern California map. And that area there, where the triple junction point, where these faults all come together in Northern California, right around Silicon Valley, that area is more active than I have seen it in all the years I've been in California. Since 1974, I have never seen it so active in that area. So what we have going is a lot of of slippage and activity along these fractures Commander is talking about, these new fractures, all through Southern California. It looks like a brittle, splintered piece of tempered glass. And up in Northern California, jumping up through Parkfield in the middle of the state and up there to that triple junction point there around San Jose and Silicon Valley, there's another large degree of motion. And as that continues to slip there, that is pushing the two East Bay faults, major East Bay faults, as well as the San Andreas, up through San Francisco proper. And what's wrong with those East Bay faults moving is the fact that 7 of the 8 hospitals and all 8 of the primary and middle schools are sitting smack on those fault lines. So picture what would happen if just, say, a 7 or an 8 magnitude slippage occurred through the East Bay of Northern California. You would lose all of the schools and 7 of the 8 available hospitals would be out of commission. So that alone ought to give the people up there pause for some concern.
Well, even the Civil Defense Headquarters sits out on the point on the fault.
It seems like they pick these places on purpose.
That's not far from the truth.
So that's really, let me see here. Except it's building up. The activity in the last 3 or 4 weeks of maps I've seen from Caltech show the same activity I showed in the map a couple weeks ago, the triangle forming around Palm Springs and the larger triangle, say, from Santa Barbara into Lake Isabella and then down through the Salton Sea in Baja California. Both of those are now filling in, as Commander mentioned, from these fracture faults. Instead of just those two clear lines like the cookie cutter triangle around Palm Springs and the larger triangle from Santa Barbara to Lake Isabella and down through the Salton Sea to Baja California, there is now a lot of dots filling in on places where there aren't any fault lines, as if you were to take a paintbrush and splatter the area with dots indicating earthquake activity. So what it looks like is the entire area is breaking in the small pieces from these slippages.
Let me tell you something else about Palm Springs. There is a very major water conduit that does run under Palm Springs from the coast. Ones who are involved will know about this. It's just like some know all about under Northrop over here, and some know all about under Edwards. They're not allowed to talk about it, but I'm going to, after he finishes his statement completely, I'm going to let a few people off the hook as to why there is no update information and why everything seems to be just holding. But part of the desire is to cut that major tunnel water conduit. And if they dump Palm Springs into this massive underground cavern, it's going to block that. So right now, you are still having the final dregs of the submarine activity coming in and passing through that area before this happens and closes off that tunnel. So a lot of your atomic shuttle submarine craft are being funneled through there and gotten out of the sea that they want inland. Some of the stuff that they want that they have inland, they are pushing back out to sea. So that is one busy little corridor through there. And that will be lost, you see, if they can pull off the kind of implosion they really want to. And it's time to start blocking those egress ingress areas against this devastation out on the coastline. So they're working frantically getting their equipment back and forth and situated for what will be coming. Is there anything else that you want to say before I speak on why it's holding?
No, it was perfect lead-in, Commander. I my final statement was going to be there are reasons both terrestrial and with respect to the timing of the hosts and things that they have in motion as to why things haven't gone just yet, and I was just going to throw it back to you and say you talk about whatever that you can.
Thank you. There are several. Because of the changing, the fluctuations and the reordering or the restructuring or the reassignments of various and sundry craft, and I'm not talking about my craft. Let's just take command out of this, with one exception. Command has agreements also. And a lot of decisions are being made as we speak. On your place, where you're headed, who the players are, and what we will tolerate, what we will not tolerate, etc. So there is no new information coming through to Cali, because Soltec, we have a commitment of silence until we see where this is going. Now, you see cities destroyed, and specific areas of cities that will be seen by your seers or your vision receivers. Let us just say Gordon Scallion. Let's just use him as an example. I'm not going to try to quote him because this is hypothetical. But it's very real. The story only is hypothetical. By now, you ones should be able to see the enemies isolating themselves into pods. Let's just leave space out of it. You can talk about your alien intruders all you want to, because they are part of it. But you have the Khazarian New World Order element. You have even a Russian element that wants control of everything, but they want it for a different reason. You have the New World Order wanting everything, but over here on this side, you have a different set of reasons. Over here, you have the Bilderbergers and the banksters, and they're part of the New World Order, but they want control for a different reason. Then you have the Zionist fanatical Satanists, and I don't care what they call themselves, Khazarians, Zionists, Jews, New World Order, because, you see, everybody wants to throw rocks at us for using the term Jew. That's what they call themselves. If you, as a Jew, want to be classified in the Khazarian Zionist elite, then you go right ahead and call yourself Jew. That is not what you were called before. You came from the Phoenicians, if you are amongst the Zionist New World Order bunch. The Phoenicians then, they were always Khazarians, and most of them right off the docks in Orion, circulating through. And they're not tribes of anything but the rebel outcasts. And that was the reason for let's intermarry, so nobody could tell what you were. You just become a mongrel race. And I don't use the term mongrel disrespectfully. Mongrelized means simply just crossed. So that the species inhabiting Earth would eventually be so mongrelized that there would be no ability to tell, with one exception. We will isolate the slaves, and those are going to be the darker races, because they were brought here with this bunch of hoodlums to be their slaves. And they didn't stop trading in slaves. They brought the blacks here to be their slaves, and they have continued it. The same group was responsible for the bringing of slaves and selling them in America. And they don't really care what color they are. And they especially like to get the children and grow them up in their evil practices. So ones can come and say, oh, those evil-minded Holocaust deniers, Holocaust revisionists. They are the ones that revised history, not us. They took the truth and revised it to suit themselves, and it's the lie. Somebody comes along and says, oh, but history proves that it was this way. Oh, well, don't let humankind read that. That is banned. They are hate mongers, revisionists, deniers. So this is what you have going. Now, you have about three elements on your place. And let's leave the patriots completely out of this, too. You're the fodder. You are just the... Except that if you just keep your respect for self, keep your respect for nation, act within the laws, they're not going to bother you a whole lot because, you see, they have to be deceivers always. They have to put up a good front, always. And look at those nice people in Tehachapi. They're able to grow and build and have a business and a motion picture studio and all this stuff. And that they're that terrible cult. Well, I don't know about that terrible cult, but the lawyers let them get away with this right in Bakersfield with John Schreffer, the Phoenix cult. Here it is. This is it, right here. That Phoenix cult. Lonely at the top. Lonely at the bottom. One cult member is really lonely. But nobody bothers to get up and say, I have corporation structures right here, and there is no cult. And Mr. Gooden, Mr. Green, Mr. Brent, these are the ones that have foisted this off on you, Judge Ryan. Thank God this man had friends out there. Because there is no cult, no church, no nothing. But nobody gets up and says that. Not one attorney gets up and says that. They refer to you as the Phoenix Group. Are they going to go in there and fight with Judge Ryan? When that's what they think? Okay, look now on a bigger scale. Why do you think that basically, intentionally, the big cities will be taken out? I want you to think about it just a second. You don't have to even speak about it, but I want you just to close her down right now and think, why would there be an advantage to taking out the big cities? It doesn't have anything to do with you. It doesn't have anything to do with Mother Nature. Who inhabits the big cities? The undesirables. And for another class who wants to run the world, it gets rid of the Jews. The Jews flock to the big cities. Part of it is because they don't have any other choices when they come. There are the Jewish people or Judean Hebrew lineaged people. And then there's all this other mass of deceivers. Most of themselves not even knowing that they're in the group. But they are the ones for the almighty dollar who will be in the big corporate structures, the big banks. And they are also the ones fomenting this incredible riotous energy. Now, who would want to take out the cities? The command? I don't care what you got.
Let me change the tape.